Hello, welcome to another edition of the Marvin Bird Show. I'm your host, Dr. Marvin Bird. Today, we are going to talk about classroom management. Actually, if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that I actually prefer the term classroom leadership. Classroom leadership. I believe that word leadership captures the essence of what we're asking teachers to do in present time. Because leaders, what leaders do is they have an influence. They inspire others to believe in something that is yet to be seen. And as a result of that inspiration, as a result of that belief and influence, it affects people's actions towards a vision. And so it's important that teachers have this ability to influence. And so I love that term, classroom leadership. We're going to talk about classroom leadership today. So let's start with a couple of scenarios, okay? So we have a student. Let's say he's a freshman in high school. And for some reason, it's a very curious situation, but the student refuses to try. Student refuses to try, and this student will sit and he'll begin to shut down. He will not keep up with the rest of the class, so it falls behind, and as a result of that, he ends up having nothing to do because there are a number of steps that he did not accomplish. And so that ends up with a lot of off-task behavior. Here's another scenario. You have a bright student, a very bright student who is funny. Okay, they have an affinity for cracking a joke at the right time. And their tongue is so sharp, and they have a lot of wit, so they can say things at the very right time, or if you're the teacher in the class, they say it at the wrong time, and so they have a way of getting the class behind them and getting the class off task through their telling jokes. But this student is so smart. The student is so smart. There's so much in that student. But the teachers express a lot of frustration with this student because the student has the ability to hijack the classroom. And here's another student. We have another student who, and it really seems like their sole purpose is to do the exact opposite of what the teacher wants them to do. And they can debate and go back and forth and back and forth to defend their poor decisions to the point that it's very difficult for the teacher to teach. Does this sound familiar? Well, it should. There are students like this in many classrooms across the country. These are not abnormal situations. And the challenge is on the teachers to reach those students. That's what leaders do. Leaders look at the situation and they don't see it for what it presently is. They see it for what it could be. If only these students would turn things around, change their thinking, and make better decisions. Oh my goodness, there's no telling where these students can be, how far these students could go. If only they made better decisions. That's the mindset that a leader has to have. And I get it. I totally get it. There are within teachers, there's that small whisper. There's that part that says, hey, you know, what about personal responsibility? What about accountability? And you know what? Those are really good things. Don't feel guilty about thinking that way, but it's also important to balance that and make sure that as a leader in the classroom, you're not solely relying on that thinking and allowing that thinking to drive your actions and your redirection of that student. You've got to be careful. But going back to accountability, everyone in this world is held accountable by life. Ultimately, accountability is very, very important, and students need to learn that lesson. And once again, I'll say it just to make sure that you continue listening to me. There has to be a balance, right? We just can't make the decision that, oh, you know, the student doesn't want to learn, so I'm just going to work with these other 22 students over here and leave that student over by himself. That's not what I'm saying. But in the end, life is going to hold everyone accountable. It's the great equalizer, accountability. So a leader who holds people accountable does not leave people behind. And again, there's a great balancing act that the teacher has to manage within this. Here's a quote that I'm going to share with you, a quote from John Gordon. It's a lengthy one, but please stay with me on this. We're talking about accountability. He says, "You have to love your people. They have to know you care about them." Does that sound familiar? They have to know you care about them, but you also have to hold them accountable to the values, principles, cultures, and standards. Too much love and not enough accountability, and your team will love you, but they won't become great because of you. Too much accountability and not enough love, and your team will initially strive to be great, but eventually disengage and fall short of their potential greatness. That quote right there sums up the balancing act that a teacher has to manage in terms of holding students accountable and redirecting them from poor decisions. You cannot help students become the best versions of themselves without accountability. You have to have accountability. You have to have it. And it is better that they learn these lessons when they're young. It's better that they learn them when they're young, when the stakes are not as high, when they don't have bills coming around each and every month, when they don't have families that are depending on them. It's best that they learn these lessons when they're young. And teachers play a very important part in this development. Now, when I started teaching, it was very black and white. If you were cussing, it didn't matter if you were, you know, talking to me. If you were talking to a friend, hey, you're cussing. There's a referral, detention. There were very few warnings, and I was just it was black and white because that's the way the rules were written. Well, it took me a while, but I learned that those rules, the way they were written for another time. And so I had to learn to write my own rules because I had to lead my classroom. And what I learned is, simply put, things just, they aren't the way they used to be. You know, when we talked about it, it takes a village. You know, I remember the stories that teachers used to tell me about the 70s and how they would put their hands on kids and furniture would be moving. And oh, and the PE teacher was the one who was designated to paddle the students. Oh, my gosh. You try to paddle a student today and see what happens. It would not be good. It wouldn't be good. There would be a lawsuit. There would be a fight at the school between teacher and student. It would not work. So there is a different way of thinking today. And it's good because now we are focused on all students, on making sure that we keep students in the learning environment and help them reflect so that they can do better the next time. But here's the interesting thing. And many would complain about teacher preparation programs in colleges and and the classroom management courses and how they don't fully get teachers ready. And there are so many more things that we're considering, thankfully, in regards to equity and cultural relevance. And that there's all these other things that definitely need to be considered. But how do you really, really lead a classroom? There's so much that goes into it. And a lot of it, a lot of the things that work, the best practices, are actually learned through experience. And I think that's why it's important that leaders spend a decent amount of time in the classroom before they leave the classroom to join leadership. Because it's very difficult for someone who spent maybe 5-6 years in the classroom, or maybe even less than that, to try to coach someone who's, you know, they believe they're doing the best they can with the student, but it's so difficult. It's just, I don't want to say it's not, you know, they can definitely coach that person, but in terms of teachers being receptive to that person who has just a handful of years in the classroom, it can become challenging. That's why I truly believe leaders need to spend a decent amount of time in the classroom. So where do we start? When we talk about leadership, obviously the word relationship is key. Now, leaders listening to this, they can point to numerous tweets in their Twitter stream regarding relationships. And so we know the importance of relationships. Relationships are the solid foundation in regards to leading a classroom. That's definitely where you need to start. But we have to be careful as leaders. And I'm in administration, but I'm going to put my, you know, I'm always a teacher. I pray that I never, ever, ever, ever forget what it was like to be a teacher. So I'm going to put my teacher hat on, because, you know, we preach relationships. Absolutely. But try preaching the relationship, or try reminding a teacher of the relationship that there's a first year teacher who spends their own money and their own money on supplies for their students. And they invest a lot of time after school. And, you know, the teacher is consistently disrespected and cussed out by the very students that they invest so much time in and their money in. And they're getting cussed out for following a directive by administration. It still hurts. It still hurts. And we as leaders, we need to remember that. It still hurts. And that damage is real. So relationships are important. But I want to make sure, my leaders out there, that we're not assuming that just because a teacher is having difficulty, that they're not trying to build those relationships. They could be working their butt off to build those relationships and much more. But there is no one tool that's the silver bullet to classroom leadership. That is important to realize. You know, I equate it to, if you've ever done any construction, for example, putting a wall, framing a wall together, there are what we call shims. These shims are pieces of wood. They're thinly shaped pieces of, they could be wood and or other materials, but they're shaped like a wedge. And the purpose of these shims is to make things even. For example, if you have if you're putting in a new door, perhaps the door is kind of lopsided. Well, you would stick in these shims wherever you needed to stick the shims in order to make sure the door was not lopsided, that it stood up straight, that it closed properly. So, I really I equate classroom leadership to using shims in construction, because shims, they're all purpose. Shims can be used anywhere to either create a space or make things even. That's what classroom leadership is like. So you have to have many tools. Now, obviously, relationships are very important. That's your number one tool. But there are so many other tools out there that can be helpful to a teacher who is leading a classroom. Now, for those teachers who are just starting out, I know it would seem so simple, right? To, you know, this student refuses to work. Okay, you can just go to sleep and let me just teach these other people, because it's very easy for me to do that, right? Seems simple, right? You know, you have a student who is a constant disruption in class. It would seem so simple to say, you know what, why don't you just report to the principal's office, because I can't do my job if you're here. So just go, you know, each and every day. Yeah, just go to the principal's office. That's fine. That's, you know, it would seem so simple that, you know, if the student isn't turning in the work, okay, that's a zero. You're not turning the work. That's a zero. It seems so simple, and it makes sense to do that. You know, we have a student who is they're not using profanity towards you, but they're using profanity, and you know, you don't want to hear that. So it would seem so simple as this: here's your referral, do your detention, whatever. It would seem so simple. But when it comes to leadership, your job as a leader is to inspire people to believe in something, a vision, a picture of the future. Each and every one of your students has a vision of success. They may not know what it is, but it's out there. And their purpose is to discover what that vision is, and school plays a part in that. And the saddest thing in the world is someone who doesn't discover their vision of success, and sadly they never reach it. That's a sad thing. And so as a leader, one of the most challenging things that you'll have to do is believe when your students don't. You have to, and it's not only challenging, but it's a loving thing to do, to believe when your students don't. Because those scenarios I read to you before, when I said it would be so simple, you know, student refuses to work. That student, there's a purpose for that student. There's a vision of success for that student. There's something that student was supposed to do with their life. That student who refuses to turn in their work. Yeah, it would be so simple just to say, you know what, you don't want to do it, I'm not going to ask for it, I'm just going to plug in the zero. That student, there is something special in this world that student is supposed to do. And through their actions, those students are showing that they're sending a message that they don't care. And they're sending the message that they don't believe. They don't believe that they have a vision, that there is a special purpose in this world for them. They're showing that through their actions. But as the classroom leader, you have to believe when your students don't. As students go through life, as they go through the classrooms, what they're doing, as students go through life as they move from grade to grade, what they're supposed to be doing is discovering that purpose and acquiring the tools they need to chase that vision of success. But here's the thing. We can't make them do what they need to do, but that doesn't mean we stop believing. But remember what I said before, leaders, one of the things that leaders have the ability to do is they have the ability to influence and inspire. And they inspire people by believing when the students don't believe. Because when we as a leaders in the classroom stop believing, then there is no hope. no hope. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine what it would feel like to have no hope for the future? It's a lonely place to be. So when students make this statement, that teacher doesn't even teach. I believe that that student is saying one of three things. One of three things. They're saying the teacher doesn't teach. So maybe the teacher is just, they're surfing the internet. And I had a teacher like that when I was in high school, except it wasn't the internet. They were reading a newspaper. Okay, so that teacher did not teach. The other thing the students could mean is the teacher is forcing me to go to the next level. And that's what we like. That's what we want. They're forcing me to go to the next level, meaning that the student is being challenged and there's more responsibility put on their shoulders than what they're used to in the past. They're being challenged with rigorous expectations that are forcing them to use their brain to actually acquire knowledge, as opposed to just being able to sit back, relax, and listen to the teacher as they present slides so they can mindlessly copy down the information on those slides. The third thing I believe that students are saying when they say that teacher doesn't even teach, this is key right here. This is what they could also be saying. They can be saying, the teacher doesn't believe that I can be better than I am right now. The teacher doesn't believe that I can be better than I am right now. Take that in. Take that thought in. And most of the time, students won't even, they won't say it like that, but they mean that. They feel that the teacher doesn't believe that they can be better than they are right now. Again, we talked about hope. When there's no hope, that's a terrible, lonely feeling. And teachers, your students look to you for hope. They really, really do. It may not seem that way, but they do. They look to you for hope. So believing for your students, remember, you got to believe for them even when they don't believe. Believing for them means that you have to carry their dream until they can carry it for themselves. You have to carry their dream until they can carry it for themselves. Now, it doesn't mean that you lower your standards. No, it doesn't. But you understand the importance of the small victories. Again, you don't lower your standards. Do not lower your standards. But it's the small victories. It's the small victories. If they're supposed to get to 7 by the end of the class, but they get to 4, that's good. Because now what you can do is you can, you know, manipulate the schedule, maybe advisory time. You can work on getting from that 4 to that 6. Believing for your students means that you are persistent in your approach. You're persistent. You're always on them. You're always speaking encouraging words into their life. You're so consistent. It doesn't matter how they're acting on that particular day. It doesn't matter how you feel on that particular day. You are still persistent in your approach of encouraging them and pushing them to be the best version of themselves. Believing for them means that you are invested in the outcome, and they know the difference when you're invested in the outcome and when you're not. Because when you're invested, you don't give up. Oh, Johnny, I can't believe that you cussed in my presence. And little Johnny says, oh, Miss Smith, I'm sorry. Okay, now we can move on. The message has been sent. Oh, Johnny, I can't believe that you cheated on this test. You know what? I could give you a referral for that. I could, you know what? I could give you a referral and I could give you a 0 for that. But you know what I'm going to do? You're going to get another test, and it's going to be an essay test. And you're going to have to stay after school to take that test. because the most important message here is not the message that you did wrong and you deserve a zero for that. No, the most important message is the message that you send to me, showing me that you've mastered this objective. And believing for your students means that mistakes aren't final and they don't define the student. You know, your mistakes don't define you. They don't dictate where you're heading. I love this quote from Coach K. Coach K says that your mistakes don't define you. They don't dictate where you're heading. They only remind you of where you've been. And that's the attitude that the leader in the classroom has to have. So in closing, I want to remind you that believing for your students when it seems like they don't believe in themselves, it's not weakness. It's not weakness. It's the most loving thing that you can do. And that's why you got into education, right? Because you love working with students. You love watching them learn and grow. And in today's educational environment, our students, they need grace. They need mercy. Now more than ever. And they need leaders to say, and they need leaders to think like this. Until your actions start reflecting the greatness that I see in you, I'm going to carry this dream for you. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, students know when you believe and they know when you don't. So carry that thought, meditate on that going forward. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Marvin Bird Show. And until we meet again, please take care of those children.